Okay, the next technique is electromyography, or EMG. This is what you use in any kind of muscle study. But we can put these electrodes straight on the muscles, or we can insert them in muscles. Okay, the idea is we want to look for electrical activity. Now, the problem with the surface electrodes is that it's going to pick up activity from all the muscles in the area. It's very hard to specify a muscle. Now, if you're dealing with a big leg muscle or something, you can. But as you know, we have a lot of muscles in the laryngeal area. Think about those extrinsic laryngeal muscles, the infra and suprahyoids. They kind of overlap each other. So it will be difficult to isolate one of them using surface electrodes. Okay, so if you really want to know what one muscle is doing, you need to use needle electrodes. Okay, so that would be the invasive part. Got to be kind of good at it. They use needle electrodes when they want to study mostly the intrinsic muscles of the larynx, but they certainly can do them in the extrinsic muscles. So if you want to know what the cricothyroid is doing, you can, you know, go through the front part of the neck to get into where the cricothyroid is. Okay, you don't have to go through the mouth and go down. You can go in through the front part of the neck. And what we do when we're using needle electrodes, which is kind of ironic, is that they stick the needle into the muscle, and then if they get the reading that they expect on the machine, and it looks just like a wavy line, okay, it sounds kind of noisy. I couldn't find a good picture for you. Sorry. But what happens is, you know, you stick it in there and you say, I think I have the cricothyroid. And then the person, you say, okay, I want you to raise your pitch. Huh? And if the muscle reacts, then they say they have the right muscle. That's very circular logic, if you follow what I'm saying, is that they stick it where they think it's supposed to be, and if they get the response they think they should, then the muscle is doing what we think it should. It should not be that way. I mean, you should, you know, okay, I definitely have the cricothyroid. Let's see what happens when pitch changes. We think it's the pitch muscle, but maybe it's not. Okay, now we all know that the cricothyroid is probably, but I'm just saying that it's difficult to know exactly what you're getting. I don't have electromyography in my lab. It does require some anesthesia, local at least sometimes, but they do use it a lot for Botox injections. So when I go over to ENT, he will use a very long needle. I was kind of surprised the first time I went. The needle's about 4 inches long. Okay, he does stick it in through the front. If this is one way to do a Botox injection, okay. Now, why would you do a Botox injection? Well, people with spasmodic dysphonia, which we're going to talk about, very often go in and have Botox injected into their thyroarytenoid muscle to kind of temporarily paralyze it. That's what happens. Okay, Botox makes it not the nerves not respond, and so it becomes a little more flaccid, so it reduces the spasms in the area. So these people come in very often every 3 months to get an injection. It could last as long as 6 months, okay? And what they do is he comes in, takes this very long needle, he kind of anesthetizes their neck and things, and he sticks it in, goes through the space from the thyroid and the crico, and goes up into the thyroarytenoid muscle. Depends on the doctor. The procedures will vary by clinic. But he will probe along the thyroarytenoid muscle, usually on one side, and we'll switch it from time to time. Sometimes they do both. But we'll probe along the thyroarytenoid muscle until the machine indicates the most muscle activity. So it'll be going, you know, and so they go, okay, I've got it. And you'll see it. It looks like, you know, chicken scratching on the screen. And then when it's really, really noisy, it will get really wild. It's kind of like those machines you use to find metal on the beach, if you will, in terms of the noise that you're hearing when you hear something. Okay, so they do use it for Botox injections, and then sometimes they'll use it to determine laryngeal paralysis. And that's really tricky because sometimes the muscle's just paretic. I know that Dr. Ridley and he lets me look at it, and he's like, well, what do you think? Is it paralyzed? I mean, it's rarely totally paralyzed. It might be, but you still might be picking up some activity from surrounding muscles. So we do get some activity on the EMG, but that's the primary use for EMG. So you'll see these mostly in hospital settings and mostly with Botox injections.